Before we did one not too long ago called Hey Mama, Who Do You Serve First? And we got some great reactions from that, and we thought that we'd continue the conversation with Who's Talking Now? How to communicate with your children. Tell you a little bit about servant leadership. At the Servant Leadership Institute, we believe that it is not just something you do from 8 to 5, but rather it's a 24/7 way of life. It's not something that you can really walk away from. It's something that you can incorporate at home, at work, in your community. And so naturally, we've decided, since we're moms, that servant leadership extends to how we work with our kids.
Yes, it definitely does. One of the ways that I find working with my kids really brings home servant leadership is learning how to effectively communicate with them. And, you know, one of my favorite things to do at the end of their day, and sometimes the beginning, depending on how eventful our night was to ask them more pointed questions about their day, such as, you know, how were you kind to somebody today? For instance, were you kind to your friend? Or asking them if they were helpful to their teacher in any way. That's a big one that I like to ask.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing, you got to start the conversation.
Yes.
With today's technology, and, you know, everybody's got an iPad or an iPhone or Android device, something that has easily distracted them. I mean, it was TV when we were kids.
Yes.
You got to get them away from the TV. But just finding the time to start the conversation, I think, is the most important. So that's great you pick first thing in the morning and end of the night to have a conversation.
What about your questions? I'm sure you asked Landon some.
I do, yeah. So my son's 11, and he still does not like me to leave the room when the lights go off. So I've gotten to where I play a lot of Boggle with friends in the evening while I'm waiting for him to go to sleep. But what's really cool is that's the time where, you know, he's unwinding, and some of the neatest conversations can happen about what's going on at school, or, oh, hey, Mom, did you know my friend just got an award? Or, oh, there's this girl, and I think she likes me. So I tend to find out a lot more information as he's unwinding and getting ready to go to sleep. So that's my favorite time to catch up with him. But I also have the luxury of being able to take him to school most mornings, and that ride just in the car. I know you've told me some funny stories with your kids in the morning. Is a great way to start a conversation. We don't do devices in the car, so he reads a lot. But in between that, he's telling me the latest, you know, fact from Ripley's Believe It or Not, of, you know, some man that can suspend 1,000 feet in the air from just his fingernails, or some crazy statistic like that.
And is there a specific question that you ask to get him going on that train of thought? Because that sounds like some great conversation.
Yeah, you know, I don't ask him, how was your day? I mean, that's kind of the stereotypical response you're going to get is, fine.
Or, I did the same thing as yesterday.
Exactly. So I really hope to avoid that. And I look for open-ended questions like, were you kind to someone today? Or, what was an exciting thing you learned about today? And currently, the dialogue I keep getting is about his teacher's pregnancy. She's about to have her first baby. So Landon is becoming an expert on pediatrics.
Oh, of course.
Of course.
That's what any responsible young 11-year-old would do.
What about with your kids?
I actually have a really funny one that's been coming up from Travis lately. His school's been getting some new turf, and I asked him one time what was something exciting, and I've now gotten the daily download of, well, it was installed and I get to play on it tomorrow, maybe. And then, oh, no, we didn't get to play on it. They got to paint it. Oh, no, it rained. Oh, nope. And then when he finally got to play on it, he was so excited to share it with me. I didn't even have to ask. And it was just cool to see that, asking him those questions every day, even though I kind of didn't care necessarily about the answer, it made him feel comfortable enough to start the conversation on his own, which I think is great for when they start getting older and they start being a little unsure about what they can talk to their parents about.
Well, you think about it as adults. We have a challenge just finding our own voice.
Yes.
And I think if you start with your kids at a young age of really letting them feel confident to voice their opinion and step out there, they just become more confident in who they are as adults and ultimately should be able to make better decisions.
Agreed.
All right. So in addition to asking open-ended questions, I think a big part of that is being clearly communicating with your child, making sure that you're specific about what you're saying. And what I mean by that is I think as adults, we know how to read other people and we know how to, you know, when someone's insinuating something else or they're telling a pun. And your children haven't learned that yet.
No.
And I think sometimes you forget that these little people still have to be taught.
Yes.
So what are some examples you've done with your kids?
I would say one of the biggest examples was we were having a really rough time with our mornings. And a couple months ago, I implemented a checklist after talking to them. And I explained, hey, I'm having trouble getting out the door on time with you guys. And it's messing up everybody's day. You guys are going late here. I'm going late there. And it's just not fair to the other people that are waiting on us. So what can we do to work together to fix this problem? And it was really great to tell them the transparency behind why I was so frustrated in the morning. It wasn't just, oh my gosh, you guys get out the door on time. Like, what's wrong with this? It was just telling them, hey, this is a problem that we're having as a family. Let's communicate about it. Figure out the bones behind.
Yeah, what was the reaction to that?
So they actually had a really cool reaction to it. They were totally on board with wanting to get our mornings back to normal. You know, nobody likes being yelled at.
Right,
and,
true.
And they don't either. So it was really just a matter of we discussed it. We decided to create a checklist that included everything that we needed to do in our morning to get out the door. And initially it was if we had a perfect week, and everybody got to where they needed to go on time, we got a reward. But
oh, nice.
Now,
what type of rewards do you do?
We have a fairly busy schedule because I share partial custody with my ex-husband. And so because of that, our time is always precious. So what we would do is I would say, okay, we'll spend dedicated family time doing what you want to do every weekend. That was the first part of it. And then there was always some sort of little surprise, like we were given a Bean Boozled game. So for a while there, it was they got to take three spins on the Bean Boozled game first thing Saturday morning. So, you know, three pieces of jelly beans Saturday morning. That was awesome. That was a huge motivator. The current one is they had to get a week of check marks to get a new book, which we got the Wrinkle in Time graphic novel. And then the next reward is once they've read the book and we get a perfect week, we're going to go see the movie in theaters.
Okay, so you actually
build
on it sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes we build them.
That's great.
So is there anything that you do, Lisa, that you feel helps you to communicate with Landon? Like any particular questions?
Yeah, you know, I use a lot of the questions we teach in servant leadership. Tell me more. Help me understand. What do you think would work in this situation? But really try and pull him into the conversation. I want him to feel like he can contribute. He's not always going to have the best idea, of course, and I am the parent, so I'm going to make that decision. But, you know, by having him participate in that dialogue, it at least helps validate that he has a voice. So with Tell Me More, then that will get him to explain his thought process of why he thinks he needs to stay up past midnight to play Xbox for five more hours. Or, you know, help me understand why you have to have another add-on for Fortnite because you've already spent $20 on the last pack you bought last weekend. Or, you know, with what do you think would work? Help him find the solution to his problem.
Right.
Not me as a parent constantly fixing it. You know, at some point your kids got to learn responsibility, and if you're constantly fixing everything for them, then you're going to have a, you know, 25-year-old young man who can't do anything for himself. So,
well, and the great thing about introducing those questions in the settings like you're referring to is the fact that they'll get used to them, and then you can bring them into the more tense conversations, like when they're really upset and there's no way that there's no question that you've asked that's getting a response. Sometimes it's just saying, well, help me understand why you're upset. And then they'll remember that question from when they were trying to problem solve some little itty bitty thing like buying extensions on their video games.
Yeah.
Super common problem. Or, you know, they're grappling with how to deal with a bully at school and they're not sure who to talk to because it's unfortunate that we're not helping them.
Yeah, well, the help me understand one I use a lot when he'll come home and we'll talk. He'll be in a mood.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened? Oh, it's just stuff.
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean stuff? Well, I just don't want to talk about it.
I'm fine.
And you have to, yeah, well, I'm fine.
I'm fine.
And having to really kind of pull it out of him. And,
yeah.
And just so he comprehends that, you know, if I don't understand, I can't help you troubleshoot this problem or find a solution. And then sometimes, he still doesn't want to talk about
right.
it. And it's usually just, you know, typical growing pains, kids stuff.
Yeah.
But I at least want him to know that he has the opportunity to open up and talk if need be.
Right, which has a lot to do with the other part of the servant leadership part of that, which is listening to understand.
Right.
Because that's a huge component of not only your parent life, but your work life and your personal life and everything else.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you've got to have the opportunity just to permit dialogue. You know, making your kid feel safe, that's even if it's with a topic you don't agree with, that they feel comfortable, if it's something on their heart or on their mind that they really feel like they need to talk to you about it, that you're approachable, that you're putting down your distractions and really focusing on them and truly hearing them rather than just being present.
Right, and it's an important distinction that we don't necessarily always pay attention to. Like, you know, if you're sitting there watching a movie with your kid and you think that they won't see you playing on your phone or checking an email or doing whatever it is you're going to do, they do notice, even if you hide it.
Right.
I mean, because they all of a sudden realize your eyes are not where theirs are. Or, you know, you've suddenly pulled away or you're not gasping at the right moment. And, you know, the connection piece is huge for them to be able to feel like they can have that open dialogue with you and be able to problem solve.
Well, and it's only going to catch up with you in the future because eventually you're role modeling what the ideal parent is
yes.
for them. And you know, the last thing you want is as they grow up to be parents that they're doing that to your grandkids.
Right.
You know, you role modeling. You know, it's the whole Cats in the Cradle Jim Croce song.
Yes.
You know that one where the kid ends up being just like the dad
yeah.
for a lot of the wrong reasons. But
yeah.
you really want to make sure that you are being that positive role model. And it is hard to put that stuff down, but your kids are precious and they're growing up so fast. And if you don't pay attention, you're really going to miss out on some pretty major things in their life.
Well, it's also a prime time to teach them things, you
yes.
know, to not necessarily because, you know, it's monkey see, monkey do. It's not monkey heard, monkey do. You know,
right.
they're going to mimic exactly what they're seeing, which is why it's important to show them listening to understand and living your values and even learning how to demonstrate courage is a huge component of all of that.
Yeah, and I think it helps to acknowledge their concerns. And again, even if you don't agree with it, I hear what you're saying, just validating that you are listening to them. Because, you know, I do think you have to have discernment with what they're saying versus what they mean, and try and read through the line or you know, get down to what really is going on where, you know, everybody hates me. Okay, well, does literally everyone in your class hate you?
Yes.
Or did you just have a run-in with one kid today and your feelings were hurt?
Right, and that's where those questions come in play with tell me more and help mm-hmm. me understand, because again, even if you don't agree with what even if you don't agree with what they are saying, you still need to understand it so you can have the open dialogue.
Right. And then I think afterwards, you know, a lot of this is just practice. You know, getting into your team, especially if you're not used to having more of a deeper conversation with your
yes.
kid. Because again, we all get busy. I mean, it's a fair thing that happens. And I think just taking time to assess, you know, how are you all doing? You know,
yes.
like with your new routine you've got in the morning with getting everybody out on time is, you know, after that goes by a few weeks, I assume you'll kind of step back to see if it's working.
Well, we've actually already stepped back from the daily checking of things and almost kind of the rewards. We're not monitoring it as closely. Now it's more just if everybody gets where they need to go on time, we're good to go. So, but that honestly took about 2-3 months. I believe we started it in early January after we came back from winter break. Mm-hmm. And I noticed we were really struggling to get back into the routine. And again, I was just transparent with them and said, I have to get to work on time. Therefore, we have to get off the door on time.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Yeah, well, it helps validate, too, that your kids are making good decisions, especially yes. if they're part of the process.
It's a huge part of it to show them, because you guys made the right decision to stay on task. And, my kids are 8 and almost 11. I cannot reasonably expect my 8 and 11-year-old to complete 13 tasks every morning hands-free from mom.
If only.
Right? So it's kind of like, but instead, I changed the conversation to be, why aren't you doing what you're supposed to be doing? To, hey, are you staying on task? Mm-hmm. Because they know that that's their task list. And, we do things, and I make sure to tell them when, even the mornings we don't get out on time, I validate the fact that they were ready on time. And mm-hmm. I will acknowledge, hey, mommy was the one who was running behind on time. This is not you guys. This is me. You still get a check mark. You were still on point because
well,
I want to validate it.
Just the fact that you are taking personal responsibility for your part in it
yes.
helps them see when it's okay for them to take responsibility when they're not performing like they should.
Right.
That's what we're struggling with right now with, when we run late in the morning, even as early as this morning, Landon ran out the door without Band-Aids for, he had cut up his knuckles playing Gaga Ball of all things the day before. But he got all upset because he came outside and he forgot the Band-Aids on the counter. And
which
it was
is stressful
my fault.
For him.
Yes. Oh, very stressful. And of course, it's my fault because I started the engine in the car, which made him nervous and made him feel like he had to hurry up and get in the car. And I said, honey, you got to remember, I woke you up an hour ago. You
yes.
spent 20 minutes in the bed instead of getting out, getting dressed. And I warned you and your father warned you. So you've got to be responsible for your decisions. You decided to sleep extra, procrastinate, and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're not going to have that today.
That's actually a big conversation in our house because for whatever reason, my children seem to think saying, oh, it was a mistake or oops, it was an accident, erases any real consequence. And we actually had that happen at aftercare one day. Wyatt was involved in a small incident. Basically, he had thrown a ball and it hit somebody in the face on accident because they ran in front of it. And, so nobody was in trouble, but we were notified, as a good school should.
Right.
And I was really kind of concerned because on the ride home, I was talking to him and I said, so what happened? Like, what were your actions that caused this? And he said, oh, well, I just made a mistake, so it's not a big deal. And I said, well. And I didn't immediately correct him and say, you're wrong, da-da-da-da. I said, Wyatt, what would happen right now if I picked up my phone and instead of looking in front of me, I was playing on my phone and I ran into the back of somebody? Would that be an accident? And he said, yes. And I said, would I still get in trouble? Well, yes. So there are always consequences, even if it was an accident, right? Yes. And I just kind of looked at him like, do you see where I'm getting here, kid? And
yeah,
he was like, oh. And I said, there is always a consequence to our actions, whether it's negative or positive, but you can't just assume no responsibility for your actions just because it wasn't intentional. You have to remain intentional with your actions, which is another part of just communicating with them, is saying, like, my actions may not be lining up with my values. I need to fix that. And being, mm-hmm.
Intentional communication as
yes,
well.
Yes, exactly. So those are some of the things that I'm working on with my kids, and I'd really like to hear your thoughts on ways that I could continue the conversation with them and, be able to assess if what we have been working on is actually working. And I know because you have your two older boys, what yeah. worked for you that with them for assessing outcomes.
Whether it's working or not. I thought that it was just our relationship. noticing that they would take the initiative to come talk to us when there was something, where I'm asking less of what happened in your day to day, or how are your friends, or, you know, I'm not having to ask as many of the questions. They're coming to me. And now as they get older, they're picking up the phone and calling and giving us updates. That's probably the biggest validation, is I don't have to pull the information from them. And then too, just watching and how they converse with their friends and other adults, whether they can have, you know, meaningful conversations and it's not superficial. I think that is helpful in, you know, seeing how they've done. And then with my little guy, of really helping him take an initiative to get out of his comfort zone with communicating. We just started in 4-H, and they were looking for kids to be officers for one of the new clubs, and only a couple of kids showed any interest. And I asked Landon, I'm like, hey, you know, what about, you know, stepping up and taking a leadership role? Oh, no, Mom, I don't want to do that. I'm like, well, do you even know what that is entailed? And he's like, I don't know. What do they do? I said, well, why don't you go ask? And just, again, helping them feel confident to if they can have a discussion with me as their parent, that will translate into them being comfortable enough having a discussion with, you know, a teacher, a supervisor, a club leader.
Or even having that courageous conversation with one of their friends when it's a tense conversation.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then, you know, making sure that that I'm validating when, you know, he does make good decisions and, or, you know, he's in speech class right now. So, doing a speech club and a competition of just, you know, even as simple as his delivery of his material, that, he's getting his point across, that he's clearly communicating the message that he's trying to portray. And then redirecting, making sure that, you know, if okay, we went with this decision, you know, backing up your day, if you would have gotten out of bed when you were told, you would have time to, you know, play with a cat, you know, look on the computer for an update from your friends on Facebook, or, you know, anything like that. Really trying to help redirect the behavior so that the outcome will be better tomorrow. And it's not a constant battle, because the last thing I want is to start both of our days off with, you know, being in conflict with my child, because that just is going to roll on to you and all my other coworkers at work. And then, you know, I know when we talked earlier about how much the real point in having communication is just making sure you're aligned with your family goals and values and all your decisions.
And helping your kids find their own values. And, you know, it's really what everyone's own personal servant leadership journey is based on, is making sure you stay aligned with your values. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're being open and telling your kids what your values are, you know, eventually when they grow up, they will think about the decisions they make. And if they align with their values, Hopefully. That's hopefully the way they're going to do it. And, you know, I mean, like all kids,
they're going to be kids.
Yeah. And again, it's the monkey see, monkey do. And
absolutely. Well, if we were to leave everybody with takeaways, it's start a conversation, ask open-ended questions, communicate with clarity, engage them in decision-making, listen to understand, and assess the outcome.
Yes, exactly, Lisa. It's really been great to get together again at the microphone with you, and it's been great to hear about your challenges and successes and know that I'm not alone. We really hope that we added value to all of you out there listening today, and if you have any ideas on what you'd like to hear us mamas discuss, please feel free to send your ideas to us at our email, which is info@servantleadershipinstitute.com. Or the mamas signing out.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. SLI is proud to announce our newest publication, The Art of Servant Leadership 2, How You Get Results is More Important Than the Results Themselves, written by our founder and CEO, Art Barter. This book is available on our website as well as Amazon and Barnes & Noble. This is a great addition to your leadership library. Also, be sure to stay inspired by subscribing to our weekly tips. These are short, motivational write-ups that are sent via email on a weekly basis. And finally, be sure to utilize all our website has to offer with regular updated blog, webinar, podcast, and video content. Thank you once again for allowing us to add value to your day.